Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. Hey, Golden Age fans, it's January 3rd, 2006. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the 31st installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host, and we're very glad you're here this week. Well, we've taken a week off, and we're ready to jump back in the saddle and talk about some Golden Age comic books. So I'm glad everybody's hung in here with us while we've been out for a week, and hopefully we'll have a good show. We're going to talk today about the Golden Age character that was introduced in Star Spangled Comics in 1947, and his name was Tomahawk. But before we do that, I wanted to follow up on some emails and blog posts that I received as a result of our Christmas cover show that we did a couple of weeks ago. I've received an email from Stephen Stein about that show, and Stephen pointed out to me, and I'm glad he did, the similarity between one of the covers that I mentioned with a cover that I neglected to mention. Now, during the show, I talked about a lot of covers that appeared in the very early Golden Age, even the pre-Golden Age of comics, on More Fun, Famous Funnies, and others. And I did mention the cover of More Fun Comics number 16. And I mentioned that on that cover there was an image of Santa Claus coming down the chimney and a young boy with a bear trap about to trap Santa's legs as they're dangling in the fireplace. And I thought that was a fairly dark and sinister and humorous Christmas cover on More Fun 16. Well, Stephen pointed out in his email to me, and he sent me images of both covers, that on the cover of Panic number 1, from March-April 1954, the great EC parody comic that we talked about a couple of episodes of Golden Age of Comic Books ago, there is a swipe of the More Fun 16 cover where on the cover of Panic you have the very same scene. You have Santa coming down the chimney into the fireplace and his leg is dangling over a very, very dangerous looking bear trap with a couple of children looking on with a very sinister look on each of their faces. So thanks to Stephen Stein from Alexandria, Virginia, for pointing out the omission on the Christmas cover show of the Panic number 1 cover and its similarity to the cover of More Fun Comics number 16. I also wanted to point out that on the blog page for the December 16th, 2005 Christmas Covers and Stories episode, I received a comment from Brainster, that's his handle on the blog, about some Christmas stories that I did not mention. And to be honest with you, I'm a little bit embarrassed that I didn't mention these stories, being the big Golden Age Batman fan that I am, and all the times that I've talked about the Golden Age Batman on this show, I didn't mention these stories, and Brainster was kind enough to point them out on the blog page, and you can go there and read his comments at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com and look at the comments under the December 16, 2005 episode. But the stories that he pointed out are the Batman Christmas story that was first printed in Batman number 9, which talks about a very wonderful story about an orphan boy who has only one wish, and to find his missing father. And of course, that story has been reprinted in the Dark Knight archives. Another story from Batman number 15, The Loneliest Men in the World, as Brainster points out, is a classic tearjerker story, just a really wonderful story that's been reprinted in the pages of the archives and in Batman number 239. And also a story from Batman number 27, which is a Christmas cover, A Christmas Peril, in which Batman and Robin attempt to teach a lesson to the richest boy in the world, and that story was reprinted in Batman number 261. So thanks to Brainster for posting that information on the blog page. Those are indeed wonderful Christmas stories featuring Batman and Robin, and if you haven't ever read those stories, I would certainly encourage you to do so. They'll really get you into the Christmas spirit. The story in Batman number 9 was written by Bill Finger, and the art chores were by Kane, Robinson, and Russos. The story in Batman number 15 was written by Don Cameron, and the artistic chores were Kane, Robinson, and Russos again. And the story from Batman number 27, once again, the script was Don Cameron, and the art chores were done by Jerry Robinson, one of my very favorite Golden Age artists. So again, check out those Batman Christmas stories, and I know you'll be very, very pleased that you did. Okay, well, let's turn our attention to the Golden Age Tomahawk. Who was this guy, and why is he a character who was important enough for DC Comics during the Golden Age of Comics to get his very own title? Tomahawk first appeared in the pages of Star Spangled Comics number 69 in June of 1947. Now, he was not an Indian, as his name might suggest. He was actually a man named Tom Hawk, who was in some ways raised by Indians and trained in their various methods of fighting and woodcraft and so on and so forth. And he could use a tomahawk, just like his name. He also carried a musket, wore a coonskin cap, and a leather-fringed outfit, just like his sidekick, Dan Hunter, who also made his first appearance in the pages of Star Spangled Comics number 69. Now, Tomahawk was a blonde-headed man who had, as legend went, fought alongside George Washington in the pre-Revolutionary War days. He had fought during the Iroquois Wars and other Indian skirmishes prior to the Revolutionary War. And then when the Revolutionary War began, he was not a member of the regular American militia, but he was actually a frontiersman who aided the revolutionary American forces in fighting the British. And so many of the scenes that you'll see in the pages of Tomahawk stories has Tomahawk and Dan Hunter fighting the British who were attempting to squelch the revolution that was going on in America in the time period following 1776. Tomahawk had lots of great adventures in the pages of Star Spangled Comics. He was first written and drawn by Edmund Good and Joe Samachthan. Samachthan was the writer and Good was the artist. And in the pages of Star Spangled from issue number 69 through issue number 71, Tomahawk and Dan Hunter were written and drawn by that team. But with issue number 72, in a story that was called The Old Indian Game, a gentleman named Fred Ray took over the writing and artistic chores of Tomahawk and made an indelible impression on the readers of that particular comic. Fred Ray was a cartoonist, of course, who had drawn for DC prior to this time, but he was also a Revolutionary War buff and was a great fit for working on this particular comic book, Tomahawk. So Fred Ray took over with issue number 72, and of course the rest is history, and Tomahawk was a very enduring character for DC Comics during the latter part of the Golden Age of comic books and all the way into the 1970s. Now, Tomahawk appeared in the pages of Star Spangled Comics, as I mentioned, starting with number 69, and continued all the way until that title had its name changed with issue number 131 to Star Spangled War Stories. So Tomahawk was a regular character in that book from issue number 69 all the way through issue number 130. And he became popular enough that in 1949, just 2 years after his first appearance, with issue number 96, that was the September 1949 issue, he bumped Robin the Boy Wonder off of the cover of Star Spangled Comics and maintained regular cover appearances from issue number 96 all the way through issue number 121. That was the October 1951 issue. Tomahawk also appeared in the pages of World's Finest Comics. His first appearance in World's Finest was in issue number 33, and he made three appearances, issues 33, 34, and 35, between the March-April 1948 issue and the July-August 1948 issue. And then with issue number 65 of World's Finest Comics, that was the July-August 1953 issue, Tomahawk began regular appearances in the pages of World's Finest through May of 1959 with issue number 101. So a very popular character both in the pages of Star Spangled Comics and in World's Finest Comics. In fact, his run in Star Spangled came to an end about the time that his run in World's Finest Comics began. There was about a year gap there in between the two. But Tomahawk wasn't relegated to being a backstory feature in the pages of Star Spangled and World's Finest. He also had his own title, and Tomahawk Comics made its debut in 1950 with issue number one. That was the September-October 1950 issue. And believe it or not, that title ran all the way from 1950 to 1972 with issue number 140. That was the May-June 1972 issue. And Tomahawk made regular appearances during that time. Now, with issue number 131 of Tomahawk, a new character was introduced into the comic. That was Hawk, the son of Tomahawk, and he appeared in those issues from issue number 131 through issue number 140, which was the last issue of that particular run. In fact, when the Son of Tomahawk series began, the character was really moved forward in time, about 20 years or so, to explain the Son of Tomahawk. Now, the only other appearance of Tomahawk that I was able to locate was a DC Vertigo book that was put out in 1998. It was a Tomahawk one-shot. But as far as I know, the only appearances of Tomahawk were in the pages of Star Spangled, as I mentioned, World's Finest, and then in his own title, Tomahawk. Now, Tomahawk tried to change with the times throughout the course of the Golden Age of comic books. As you know, the Golden Age changed, and the superheroes lost popularity as crime and horror comics came into vogue, and Western comics, of course, came into vogue, and that probably explains a lot of the success of the Tomahawk character during the latter half of the Golden Age and on into the Silver Age of comics. But there were lots of stories that got away from the Revolutionary War aspects of Tomahawk. In fact, during the late 1950s and the early 1960s, there were stories of Tomahawk and Dan Hunter fighting dinosaurs and mutated lizards and gigantic tree men and all kinds of weird menaces like that. So Tomahawk, like many of the other characters of the day, were not immune to the changing views of the readership, just like in the books that we were so familiar with, Batman and Superman and others, where they took on a more science fiction approach, or they took on approach related to monsters and things like that. Tomahawk was not immune from that. Even though he was set in the Revolutionary War times, he still had to fight monsters and dinosaurs and whatnot. So DC certainly had their view of what the readers wanted to see in the pages of the comics, and they adjusted Tomahawk to fit that bill. The Tomahawk stories, particularly those by Fred Ray, were just great. And if you're interested in reading something a little bit different from the mid-1940s on into the 50s, check out the Tomahawk stories and the Tomahawk books. I think you'll find them very interesting and very entertaining. And of course, Ray just did a great job telling the Revolutionary War stories and drawing those stories due to his great interest in that particular type of material. So I think you would find those stories very interesting if you can find them. And I will say that because I'm not 100% sure how many times these particular stories have been reprinted over the years. I've done a little bit of research on trying to track down some reprints of the early Tomahawk stories, and as far as I can tell, not many of them, or any of them for that matter, have been reprinted except in the Tomahawk title that moved on into the 1970s. And during the latter part of that run, they did reprint some of the earlier Tomahawk stories, and in particular, the story from issue number 113, which was a Frank Frazetta drawn story, which is a very great story and great artwork if you're interested in Frazetta. But as far as I know, there have not been any trades or collected reprints of the Tomahawk stories. I know there's not been an archive done. I don't believe there are any plans to do an essential type book, a showcase book from DC or anything like that. So those of you that are interested in reading the Revolutionary War tales of Tomahawk, you may have to go out and try to find some of the original sources for that. Those books are, particularly the Star Spangled books, unfortunately, very expensive because they have the Robin and, in some of the issues, Batman and Robin stories from Star Spangled, and they're very hard to find, and they are very sought after by collectors, and they do bring fairly high dollar on the collector market. And then the issues in World's Finest Comics, particularly those issues between number 65 and issues in the 70s, 71, 2, 3, 4, 5, those are also fairly expensive because they are fairly hard to find, particularly those issues in the 60s. And then those numbered in the 70s, of course, number 71 of World's Finest began the Batman and Robin team-ups, and those books are fairly high dollar books as well. So Hopefully I'm not correct about the availability of Tomahawk reprints, and if any of you out there know of any good sources for reprints of the Tomahawk stories from the 40s and the 50s, please let me know by dropping me an email at goldenagecomics@gmail.com or posting a message on the blog page, goldenagecomics.libsyn.com, and let the listeners of Golden Age of Comic Books know, because I think everyone who would read some of the Tomahawk stories would be real pleased with what they have to read there. I've read several of the stories over the years, and I've always enjoyed them. Unfortunately, because the ones I've read are in the original comics, I don't have access to a lot of those, and of course you got to be a little bit careful with those very old and rare books, and it's not the kind of thing you can just pull out and read whenever you want. So again, if DC hasn't reprinted that material in any particular place, maybe they can do so, and the listeners of the Golden Age of Comic Books will have an opportunity to read some of the great Tomahawk stories from the Golden Age of Comics. I wanted to mention on the show today a book that I read over the holidays called It's Superman by Tom DeHavens. He was recently interviewed on the Comic Geek Speak podcast and talked about this book. But because of the way this book touches upon the Golden Age of comic books, and in particular the very, very beginnings of the Golden Age, I thought I'd mention it. Of course, this is not a comic book. It's a novel, and it relates to the very earliest stories of Superman as he moved from his teenage years in Smallville to his young adult years in Metropolis. And the book is very unique, and in listening to the interview of Mr. DeHavens on the Comic Geek Speak podcast, it's clear that he was asked by DC to author this book, so I guess you can consider this book maybe in the Golden Age continuity of the Superman character pre-Action Comics number one. The book starts out much earlier than that and talks about how Clark Kent was learning about his powers and trying to figure out just what in the world he was. And as he struggled to learn about his powers, and as he struggled as a young man to learn the difference between right and wrong and how to use his powers for right and wrong, it's a very interesting treatment of how that origin began. Now, it certainly doesn't paint the picture of a young Clark Kent, an idealist who was a Boy Scout, if you will, and a do-gooder. It has a very different aspect of that character that you might not expect to see, but it's a very, very well-written book and a really great book if you're interested in the origin of Superman, and in particular as that character approaches Action Comics number one in 1938. In fact, the book ends with the very first stories that appeared in Action Comics, so it kind of brings you up from the mid-1930s into the latter part of the 1930s as Superman is becoming Superman. It talks about the origin of his costume. The book spends an exorbitant amount of time, and I think really well-spent time, exploring Lex Luthor and that character and how he became the criminal mastermind and the wealthy genius that he was, and how he influenced Superboy, or Superman, if you will, to become the character that he was. So if you're interested in learning about a unique and different origin of Superman leading up to his first appearance in Action Comics number one, which was, of course, the beginning of the Golden Age of comic books, then check out the book It's Superman by Tom DeHavens. I found my copy of the book at a Books A Million store. I know it's available on Amazon, and I know it's probably available at Borders and Barnes & Noble and places like that. So if you haven't read It's Superman, check it out. I know you won't be disappointed. Also, there have been some other good Golden Age materials that have come out over the last several weeks. The Golden Age Hawkman Archives, of course, was put out by DC several weeks ago. And I did read in the latest edition of Previews that Marvel is going to be publishing a second volume of the Marvel Comics Archives, which would be the second volume of reprints of stories from Marvel Comics from the earliest days of the Golden Age of comic books. So if you haven't ordered that particular Masterworks, I think I call it an archive, it's actually a Masterworks by Marvel, check it out. I know Chris over at the Collected Comics Library has mentioned it, and for those of us who enjoy reading the Golden Age of comic books, I know it will be one of those books that you'll have to have on your shelf. All right, well, that's going to do it for this installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. A little bit shorter than normal, but I'm still trying to get through all of the things that were going on during the holidays and getting back into my office to do the work that I do. So, unfortunately, the podcast has taken a little bit of a backseat over the last couple of weeks, but I'm glad I got back in the saddle tonight and was able to record another installment of the show for you fans of Golden Age of Comic Books. It's a new month and a new year, so don't forget to go on over to Podcast Alley and place a vote for the Golden Age of Comic Books and all of your other favorite podcasts. All you have to do is head over to PodcastAlley.com, do a search for the Golden Age of Comic Books. It'll give you a link to you can click on to place a vote. It'll send you an email, respond to the email as instructed, and your vote will be cast. And I would greatly appreciate each and every one of you getting out there and voting for the podcast, just so I'll know that I continue to have support from the listeners of Golden Age of Comic Books. I greatly appreciate the support. I greatly appreciate the emails and the comments that I receive, and I will continue to work hard to put out a podcast about Golden Age comic books that each and every one of you would like to hear. So thank you again for supporting me during the last 6 months of 2005, and I look forward to getting great support from each of you for 2006 and some really interesting, hopefully, podcast about Golden Age of comic books. Hopefully we'll get some interviews in this year, maybe do some live work at some of the shows coming up about Golden Age comic books, and just have a great year doing the podcast. Please don't forget to support the Grand Comic Book Database Project at comics.org, a worthwhile endeavor to catalog the history of the Golden Age of comic books and comic books generally. Also, don't forget to support the Actor Comic Book Fund at actorcomicfund.org, a worthwhile cause for the creators of comic books. So thanks again for joining us this week, everybody. I hope everybody had a happy new year, and I hope everybody's year just goes great. So have a great week, and I look forward to talking to each of you about Golden Age comic books next week.